burdens that I have are sins. The biggest struggles that I have are temptations to sin. And that's just the way a spiritual life is, one with temptation and struggle, where a person is trying to serve God, trying to please the Lord, trying to go to heaven, and yet the devil surrounds us with all sorts of temptations and struggles. Yet Jesus carried my sorrows, and burdens are lifted at Calvary. And all of the weight of that, and it might take a long time for a person, even as a Christian, to realize this, but Jesus can take all of the weight of that. So in your life, in my life day by day, isn't it our spiritual failures that weigh us down, that depress us, that oftentimes keep us from being and doing what we need to be and do in the kingdom? Isn't it those spiritual failures that we look at in our lives and we hear Satan whispering in our ear, "You're no good, you can't do it, you're not worthy." And so he depresses us and weighs us down even more. And those are all his tactics. But Jesus came to lift it all off of us. Every last bit of it. The sin itself, the guilt of the sin, and all that goes with it. So that we might truly live triumphantly in Christ. Please understand that the Lord wants us to give him our burdens. He doesn't want us to be weighed down like that. He came so that we don't have to be. Psalm 55 and verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Cast your burden on him is the invitation of the psalmist. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, "Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." There are a number of ways we can do that. As we're talking about right now, we can take our sins to him and find forgiveness for those sins in the way that he has indicated we should, by confessing them, by praying that we might be forgiven. There's such power in prayer, friends, to relieve us of our burdens, not only the burdens of sin, but the cares of this life. Paul will tell us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And so there's peace, there's release from the burdens of sin and the stresses of life and the anxieties of life, when we just take them to God. And we sang that song, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne to make all my wants and wishes known. Seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. That's the experience that God wants us all to have as Christians. That's why Jesus came and died. I want you to think about how God bore the burdens of Israel in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 31, there's a bit of a different metaphor that's used, but it's a similar idea. The text says, "In the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place." God not only really carried the burdens of the burgeoning nation of Israel, but he carried them. It's as if he just lifted them up from Egyptian bondage and all that was on them there, and all of the temptations and problems through the wilderness. And he just picked them up and carried them all the way through to the doorstep of the promised land, is where they are in Deuteronomy chapter 1. God had carried them. I'm sure that most fathers here have had this experience with their children when they were little. And maybe you're out, you know, walking, shopping somewhere, you've gone to Disney World or whatever it is, and, you know, they've got a little bit of something to carry, and they can't hardly walk anymore, and they complain about, Daddy, take this or whatever. And so you pick the whole kit and caboodle up, right? The child, whatever they're carrying and everything, and you just carry the whole thing. And that's what God is saying that he did with Israel. The son doesn't think he can walk at all. He enjoys being carried. He enjoys having his burden lifted. And he's unhappy when he's put down. And in the same way, perhaps we can think of God carrying us to our promised land if we'll let him and if we really want him to. Later in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says in chapter 33 and verse 27, that the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He's your eternal refuge, and he's got you. He's got you and everything that goes with you in his arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Kind of reminds me of a scene from a movie, Lord of the Rings. And those of you who've seen that, read the book or whatever, might remember a time when, you know, Frodo's got to throw the ring in the fire, but he's out of strength and can't carry it to the mountain. And his buddy Sam says, you know, I can't carry it, but I can carry you. And God just picks us up and carries us. It's a beautiful symbol. No one can bear burdens like God can. And that's why he wants us to give him our burdens. Look at Isaiah 46 with me. As God, in talking about the worthlessness of idols and yet the strength of he himself, it says, Bel bows down, the false gods, Nebo stoops. Their idols were on the beasts and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together, they could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age. I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry you and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? God is saying to Israel, you know, you have these idols, these false gods, and you load them up on your beasts of burden, and the beast can't even carry those. But God says, I'm your maker, and I will carry you. I have carried you all along. How much different are we than they? When we fill our lives with all of these things and all of these things that concern us, that are the cares of this life, and they weigh us down so that we're practically paralyzed. We just can't move anymore. We feel like we can't go forward. And God is saying to us, why are you carrying all that stuff? First of all, it's not going to do you any good in eternity. What's the big worry about? Just let me carry you. And whatever you need. These symbols are, I think, beautiful symbols of a loving God who wishes very much to bear the burdens of his children and is completely capable of doing that. That's where our faith comes in. We have to believe that he is completely capable of taking those burdens, sins and the cares of this life, and bearing them. And that if we are faithful to him, we trust him, we can at any moment in our lives, whatever we're weighed down with, just turn and load it on him and say, please take this for me. And he will. He will. But having said that, you know what a paradox is? A paradox is something that seems to be a contradiction, but really it's a parallel truth. Even though the Lord wants us to give him our burdens, he does not want us to burden him. How about that for a paradox? Let me explain what I mean. We burden the Lord when we pile our sins on ourselves and refuse to let him help us. That's a burden to the Lord. Back again in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 43 and verse 24, Isaiah says, speaking for God, you have bought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. What he's saying to Israel is, you keep on sinning, you keep on in sin, you won't give it to me, you won't let me forgive you, you won't come to me for forgiveness, and you just keep on with it, and that's a burden to me. He is grieved by it. Through the prophet Amos, he says in Amos chapter 2 and verse 11, I raised up some of your sons as prophets and some of your young men as Nazirites. Is it not so, children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazirites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. Behold, I am weighed down by you as a cart full of sheaves is weighed down. We talk sometimes about doing things that are pleasing to God. Have we thought, perhaps, that when we don't do things that are pleasing to God, that we're doing things that weigh him down? God is capable fully of many emotions that we ascribe only to humans, but God can be sorry, can experience grief and sorrow. And we cause him to have those emotions when we refuse to give him our sins, when we just keep on with them. It is very much like, and I appreciate, again, Wayne's talk this morning before the Lord's Supper, we are the ones responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. He went there for our sins, even if it was only one of us who had sinned. He would have gone for me. He would have gone for you. He did go for every one of us to the cross. We should have a feeling that when we sin on earth, we become ever more the one who crucified him. We add to that sorrow. We add to that burden. He carried our sorrows. But when we willfully sin and we continue in that, we're just adding to the burden that Christ must bear at the cross. God says, I am weighed down by you. When we go over to the New Testament, we see in Ephesians chapter 4, a number of choices, really, that a Christian has in this life: to give up sin and do something good or not. And so in Ephesians 4, like in verse 25, put away lying and speak the truth. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Put away lying, speak the truth. Don't do the wrong thing, do the right thing. Be angry, do not sin, verse 26. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor with his hands, that he may have something to give. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but such is good for edification. So stop doing the bad thing, do the good thing. You see, over and over again in this context. And then you get to verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Here's a reason then to straighten out our lives, to stop living in sin if that's what we're doing, to go to God for forgiveness, and in repentance and humility, confess what we've done and ask to be forgiven. Here's a reason to do that. We don't want to break the heart of God. We don't want to weigh him down. We don't want to burden him. There were two kinds of trouble I got into when I was a boy. One was the kind of trouble where I did something wrong and my parents didn't know about it. Then there was the kind of trouble that I got into when my parents did know about it. It was always better for me when they did know about it. The process was streamlined that way. But when they didn't know about it, then I had difficulty. Because, you know, then I'd have to try to continue to hide it. And when I would try to continue to hide it and pretend like it wasn't really something that had happened, it just got worse and worse on my conscience. And then it really got worse and worse when it finally came out, and it almost always did finally come out. And that's when I hurt my parents the worst. Right? It's when I'd done it, it finally comes out, you knew you did that. You've been lying about it, hiding it all this time. You're breaking our hearts, kid. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by hiding your sins, by continuing in them. God is burdened when you don't let him carry your burdens. And so this morning, give God your burdens. And when you do that, you lighten both your load and his. It's an amazing paradox, isn't it? Give your burden to God. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. That's what we're asking you to do right now. I don't know who all is here this morning. We may have those who are outside of Christ who've never named the name of Jesus, never confessed him as Lord and been baptized for the remission of your sins. We may have some that need to do that right now. Just give him your life. All of the burdens, all of the troubles, everything. And allow him to wash away your sins in his blood. And we might have some this morning who have just been hiding their weight, but still carrying it. God knows you've got it. He's got some really accurate scales. Won't you give it to him? We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.